It's an opportunity to honor somebody as well. And so, come on, Tony. You know, she's going to preach to us this morning, which is awesome. Yeah, I did. She rebuked the men about 2 months ago, and I said, no, she's never going to touch the microphone again. And so we laugh when we joke about it, but this is an amazing woman, okay, that has done incredible stuff over the last year with our Rooted Kids and stuff. But she carries a lot in her heart about what God is saying to His people. And so having opportunities like this to hear you and release your word over our people this morning is an absolute joy. And kind of stuff. They love you, and so there's nothing to be worried about. She's like, oh, I think it's relevant. It's always relevant because you're carrying stuff. So we bless you and we honor God for your gift that now bless our people here this morning. So go for it, eh?
Awesome.
I'm going to take my jacket off now, okay?
Good morning. Oh. Good morning again. It's always such an honor and privilege to be able to be here with you all. It's always an honor and privilege to have your attention, your listening ears. Some of you really thought I was banned, eh? I know. I can see on your faces you thought I was banned. After I spoke to my brothers, and I just want to thank those who responded, you know, all two of you. No, just joking. I love my brothers. I love my family. I love you guys. And it's such a privilege, really. So never ever in the history of ever... did I ever think I would preach a message out of Leviticus? But here we are. So hold on to your hats. Hold on to your pants. I know that we have the kids, so I'm going to try and steamroll through it, right? But may the Lord help our minds. So I was reading the book of Leviticus in my Bible reading, right? Now, normally when I read the Old Testament, okay, I don't know about you guys, but when I read the Old Testament, sometimes it's like when I'm listening to sport, man, because I'm not a sport person. when you listen to them talk about sports, it's like sports was sport, sport, sport. And we sported so hard. And we won the sport but lost the sport. And, you know, we're so proud of the guys for sporting so hard. And next time we will sport even harder. That's what I hear. Now, normally when I read the Old Testament, that's how it is. My brain just kind of glazes over. This one's son is of that one's son, is of that clan, and this son and that son. And this offering and that offering and this offering and that offering and this offering and that offering. Offering, offering, offering. That's all I hear, right? But this one day I was reading out of the book of Leviticus and something kind of came alive to me. And that's what I want to share with us today. So is that okay? Let's just pray. Father God, we bring this before you. We bring this morning before you. We thank you for the worship that we had this morning. We thank you for the words that went out this morning. We thank you for the work that you are already doing in our hearts. And we pray that we might be receptive to what you want to show us in your word, my God. I pray that we would honor your word, that we would listen well, and that we would just honor you in all we do. I pray that you would help me as the preacher speaker, that you would anoint my lips, that you would be with me, and that I would speak only what you have laid on my heart, my God. In Jesus' name. Okay, so Leviticus 9. I'm going from verse 1. I'm not going to read it all, but let's just read. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. So like I said, when I read this, a lot of offering stuff in there, but something jumped out at me. Part of what jumped out of me was this idea of access. And what do I mean by access? What do I mean by access? And now I'm going to bring it back to the scripture in a minute. Who in this room would say that they are a fit person? Where's the fit people? Some people put their hands up, they feel like they're fit. Okay, now I'm not talking to you guys, I'm talking to the rest of us. Who feels like their fitness needs to be worked on? Right? So let's pretend for a second, right? All of us who feel like our fitness needs to be worked on. Let's pretend for a second I'm going to choose one of you. Okay? Listen, it's pretend because I'm a church worker. But let's pretend for a second I was going to make you this offer, right? And I was going to say, for a full year, I'm going to give you all access to all the access of the stuff at the gym. You can use all the equipment. You will have access to all the trainers. You will have access to everything you need, all the classes, all the support. And I will also give you access to all the health food and supplements and stuff that you need. Does that automatically mean that you are going to be fit and healthy and strong? Why not? There's something in between where you are and the access that you have. It's in the actioning, like some of you said, actually doing it, right? And if we were to look at fitness as a system, no? And what I mean by system is there's a certain amount of inputs. There's this middle bit where there's all the operating, all the frameworks, the guidelines, the things that you have to stick to in order to get the outcome, right? If you think of it as a system, right? The fitness is the end, but there's stuff that we have to do before we get to the end, right? Here's another example before I get into what I actually want to say, right? Think of a restaurant, because I want you to think of a system. Think of a restaurant. Can you go to a restaurant and walk to the chef and say, "Sir, I need some tacos"? No. Because there's a system involved in getting food, okay? So the inputs, you have to either call a restaurant or make a reservation or go there and see their availability. You have to follow all the operations of how that restaurant works. You have to order what's on their menu. You cannot go to an Italian restaurant and ask for seafood or for Mexican or whatever. You have to order what's on their menu in order to get that meal at the end of the day, okay? When I was reading Leviticus 9, a system popped out to me. That between us and the access that we've been invited to, there is this system in order to get to the end of it. Right? Now, before I get into Leviticus, right, fully, I want to make a disclaimer. I'm not speaking about religion. I'm not speaking about religious acts. Because the Bible is very clear. We repent of dead works. There's nothing that we can do that is going to make us more righteous or closer to God or anything because He's done it all. Okay? And I'm not speaking about some kind of magical formula. If you do A, B, C, you get X, Y, Z. No, we're not here to manipulate God. Okay? What am I saying? I'm saying that the idea of a system that God is showing us is showing us a way that we can steward the access that we've been given. Almost like a systematic lens on how we can approach God. Okay, so we come as we are. We do come as we are. But sometimes we're so comfortable in God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, that we forget the sacredness of this faith. And when I read this and I saw the system popping out, I had to reflect on my life and understand that sometimes I'm not giving the intentionality required in my time with the Lord. So if we look at it as a system and there are inputs and sort of like a framework in the middle, what is the end actually that we are being invited to? What is the end of the system? Leviticus 9, verse 4. The Lord will appear to you. Verse 6. Then Moses said, "This is a thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. When you read Exodus 29:42, it says, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and I will speak to you. What God is inviting us into, yes, this is Old Testament, but we're looking at it as a framework and principles. He is inviting the Israelites of the time, he's inviting them to meet with him and for him to meet with them, to speak with them. Remember, at the time in the Old Testament, they couldn't just access God the way they wanted to. There was protocol, there was requirements, there was a system required in order for this to happen. The Israelites at the time existed within this framework, the system, this requirement, the old covenant. Blood needed to be shed in order for them to access God. We, however, live in the new covenant. There's a lot of scriptures that I can bring up on this, but I just want to read Hebrews 9, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews is in the New Testament, guys. Okay, 9 verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So we know we have access. We've been invited to access through Christ Jesus. Old covenant, through the bloods of the goats and the animals and all that protocol, and us through Jesus. Jesus did it all. Everything that was required, Jesus did it all. But the outcomes and the evidence and the end of that system is still the same. We are still being invited to have God meet with us. We are still being invited into his presence. Now, speaking on the glory and on the presence of God is a whole sermon of its own, so I'm not going to get into depth about it, but I want to say this. Understanding glory is like trying to understand beauty. It's very hard to describe. But just like beauty is something that's ascribed to something, I say this thing is beautiful. We ascribe glory to God. And the way we can understand this is if we look at the Hebrew and the Greek, the Hebrew word for glory is kabod, which means heavy or to be heavy. And the Greek is doxa, which is radiance, like the ray of the sun. And when you read scriptures on glory, it always says things like, and the glory filled the temple. The glory filled the house of God. Nothing can fill something. So when you think of the Hebrew word and the Greek word to be heavy or radiance that you can see or to be or glory that fills, we must think of substance. Something that is tangible. We are invited into the very substance of God's presence. And that presence, when we think of Bible times, okay, they didn't work with money like we work now. The measure of value on something was based on the weight. So when we say the presence of God and the glory of God is the weighty substance of who he is that he's inviting us into, he's also inviting us into the value of who he is. And I wanted to remind us of that before I get into the details. Because we need to have an understanding of what we've been invited into. We then get into the middle bit of the system, right? So that's the outcome. We've been invited to God. There were all these requirements that Israel had to follow, these people, right? Now, I'm not going to read it because it's very long, but I encourage you to go and read it, okay? And I want you to pay attention to that there's different kinds of offerings. I read some of it in the beginning. There were different kinds of offerings that they had to offer up. There was lots of detail in what they had to do. And if you just sit and think and use your imagination, imagine what it would be like to be there. What would it look like to see all that blood? What would it sound like with all the animals? What would it smell like? I'm no expert in these Old Testament things. But I did look it up, so I'm going to highlight some of the offerings, right? When I read up on it, they said there's 5 offerings. There's a sin offering, a trespass offering, a burnt offering, a grain, which is coupled with a drink offering, and a peace offering. And under peace offering, they also put the wave or heave offering, the vow offering, the thanksgiving offering, and the freewill offering. Out of the 5 offerings, 2 of them were required. The other 3 was voluntary. The 2 that was required was the sin offering and the trespass offering. The sin offering and the trespass offering had to do with atonement. Atonement simply at one mint, at one with God. They needed to make right what kept them from being at one with God. The burnt offering was to show their worship and devotion. To acknowledge God being the God who He is, they had to burn an offering. So that is voluntary. The second voluntary one, the grain and drink. The grain and drink came from their substance. That they came from their labor, from their crops. They had to acknowledge God as their provider. The one who enables them to bring forth. And then the peace offerings, which was like their thanksgiving, their rejoicing, and their fellowship with God. Now again, I said that we are in the new covenant, so we don't slaughter animals, and we don't follow all those offerings. But when I read it, I was challenged, like I said, in the way that I approach God. And something stood out to me. One, when you read this account, you understand that there was a time and a place. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. We can speak to Him wherever I want, but I challenge us this morning to have a time and a place for your meeting with God. You know, I think about my running journey. I've shared a little bit about it. I'm like, I'm very average, guys. So don't think there. Just think here, right? If I don't say that I want to run so many kilometers at a pace and I'm going to train on a Wednesday and a Saturday that I'm going to get up at this time and then this is the route that I'm going to run for such a period of time. If I don't do that and have people keep me accountable, I'm not going to run. So although we are not bound by religion, when I say have a time and a place, it's having a plan beyond what you feel. The second thing I noticed was their attitude and their heart posture. The scripture says, I don't know if I highlighted which verse it's in, but I wrote it down here. They drew near. They stood. And they brought what was required of them. We draw near to God and He draws near to us. They stood ready and in expectation. I can have the heart posture of drawing near and being ready in expectation. And I can have a heart of obedience to bring what is required to bring, which is myself. And then when I considered the offerings, I understand that there is a place in my spiritual life for laying down. A place where I need to exchange everything that I am for everything that God has for me or desires for me. I understand that there is a place that is costly. They had to bring out of their substance. It costed them to be there. Maybe uncomfortable and messy, like I spoke about the offerings, if you imagine it. But most of all, there's a place for intentionality in my time with the Lord. So what I've come to believe after reading the scripture is that there's a pattern that we can make practical. I can have an intentional time and place. Now, I don't say this from a place of condemnation because I'm a mom, first of all, with two kids, and my time doesn't always feel like my own. I feel like from the moment I open my eyes, there's stuff to do, there's stuff to do, there's stuff to do, till I go sleep at night. But if I'm not going to prioritize, even if it's once a week, I say one morning a week, because we talk to God throughout the day. But if there is one slot that I have on a Monday morning, intentional time, not haphazard, okay? So I can have a time and a place. I can have the right posture of heart. I can come with my readiness. I can come in the waiting, and I can come with my obedience. And I can come with the understanding of the offerings. I can come with the understanding that I am at one with Him because of what Jesus did. So I can readily repent of things that keep me from Him. Just like with the two required offerings. I can come and worship Him and show Him my devotion, just like the burnt offerings. And I can acknowledge His provision with thanks and praise, and I can fellowship with Him just like the peace offering. So often we come to God with requests and oh Lord, this is happening, and oh Lord, this is happening. And yes, that's fine because we cast our burdens upon the Lord. But first, we can worship Him, we can thank Him, we can adore Him, we can throw ourselves before Him and in this place of offering. And I believe that when we do this, when we follow this pattern, again, not in a religious sense that this is the things that we have to do, but if God is inviting us into a sort of system of what is required, what I believe we are doing is it's like we are building an altar before the Lord. And for a long time, I didn't understand this concept of altars. It seems so archaic and it seems so like, you think of like New Agers or like people in the occult, they have an altar and, you know. And we know that because of Christ Jesus, we don't need a physical altar. Altars in heaven. Okay. What I'm talking about is something spiritual. Someone put it like this, which helped my brain to understand. If you know software, then you'll know what I'm speaking about because I come from, when I used to work, I worked with software, right? When you have two computer systems, two different computer systems, and you want them to speak to each other, you have to have something in the middle called an API. It's called the Application Programming Interface. All that is a set of protocols and rules that allows two systems to communicate and exchange data. Here is God with His heavenly system, supernatural. And here is us. Here are we, natural, in our natural world. In order for there to be connection and an exchange of data, an altar. So it is a place, what I'm speaking about, is creating a time and a place to bring your offering of yourself. If Christ paid the sacrifice, what are we laying down? We're laying down our time, our energy, our capacity, sometimes our sleep. Sometimes God calls us to that place, 3 o'clock in the morning. Are we getting up to pray? We bring our comfort. We bring our lives. We lay it down in that place. Now, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be going through the foundations of our faith. And Sheldon mentioned that I wrestled a bit because I was like, I don't want to speak in that time because it's not about the foundations and whatever. But the reality is we want to be a church who is established in the foundations and who understands the sacredness of this faith. And I propose to you this morning that we exist in a time as the last generation where we don't have time to be lukewarm about our faith, to be comfortable about our faith. And the only way that we, you know, I look at the church, I often look at the church, and I feel so disheartened because I always see the struggling. I always see how big the world sometimes seems. And when I think about this, when I think about the glory of the Lord and the presence of the Lord, when I think about how when God was with Israel, that's when they moved. I think about the apostles in the New Testament and how when the Spirit of God came upon them, that's when they moved. And I say, God, why does the church seem so disempowered? It's not because God stopped moving. And today I say that it is time, you know, I was listening to Kathleen speaking and I was listening to Tino speaking and I was listening to the worship. There's time for us to dig deeper. There are intercessors in this place that are not taking up their mantle as intercessors. And I want to set a fire in your hearts this morning. Because if you think about us as Christians, we're so comfortable. If Sheldon were to say, okay, church is not going to start anymore at 9:30. We're going to start at 9 o'clock or 8:30 for the first hour to half an hour. We're just going to pray. Who's going to be here? But when we think about the system of the natural and the system of the supernatural, if we want to walk in power, if we want to walk like we are in God's presence, we have to spend time because the natural is first. We have to spend time at that altar. And when we spend time there, it's like this well within us that gets filled and filled and filled so that rivers of living water comes forth. Because that's what the word says. You know, recently I took on this challenge for myself. And I was listening to some videos and I thought, okay, cool, I'll try that, right? These guys on YouTube. they were saying that they spend like hours in prayer and in speaking in tongues. I was like, okay. And I put a challenge for myself to speak in tongues for extended periods of time, right? And spend time in prayer. Let me tell you, the first 10 minutes of speaking in tongues, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is so pointless and so stupid. Another 20 minutes, this is so dumb. And that voice has come, half an hour. Starts to fade. Praying. And I don't mean on one in one sitting. I mean I wake up in the morning, literally, don't judge me, put the timer on. Speaking tongues. Praying. Oh, my child's there, push pause. You know, go do the rest of the thing. Okay, I have a moment, I'm driving in the car. Press play again. Praying. Because I had this idea that I need to invest in that, in my spiritual man. I need to invest in this altar that I'm building before the Lord and how I access him and how I receive from him. And I told myself I need to do it for at least 21 days. Now, 21 and 40 is not magical numbers. But I will say this, what I always think about. When Daniel set his mind to fast, it took the 21 days. I'm going to use the word breakthrough. Okay? Because there will be resistance. If you decide this day that I am going to pour more into that space with God, there will be resistance. But you don't stop at the resistance. Because the prize that you get at the end is worth it. The weighty substance of His glory and living in His presence is worth it. And the only way that we are going to be a church that shines like a city on the hill, the only way that we are going to be a church that takes ground, because remember, from the time of Adam, God called us to take dominion. This is about kingdoms. The only way that we are going to walk in that authority to take dominion is time in that intimate place where God can reveal to us what He required, where He can reveal to us what He's saying, where He can give us deeper understanding in His word. The word says the kingdom is not inherited by flesh. It's by spirit. And it's easy to get caught up in the natural. But this morning I encourage us to invest in our spiritual man and have access to everything God is offering us in Himself. To come to that place where we put on Christ. He is in us and we are in Him. And when we walk according to what He shows us, and we walk according to the dominion that He gives us, and we are not so downtrodden because He has overcome and He has given us the victory. And the more time we spend in this place, it becomes so true to us that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Let us stand. Let us stand. Let us just close our eyes and raise our hands. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you invite us into your presence, my God. We thank you that we have access to all that you are, and that you don't require rules and regulations of us, Lord, but that you show us that we can be intentional about our time with you. We understand that the times we are living in is not easy, but we believe that you are greater in us. We repent right now, Lord, of the times that we have been unfaithful. We repent of the times that we have been negligent with our faith. We repent of the times that we have allowed other things to cloud who you are. We lay down our lives once again and we invite you, my God. We invite you to come and refresh us and revive us and to breathe your spirit over us once again. Come and ignite our hearts in prayer. Come and ignite our hearts in your word. Come and make us steadfast in this faith and in the foundations that you have laid. Renew our minds, my God. Give us fresh understanding of who you are and what you are calling us to in these days. Show us your purposes and your vision, my God, for us as a church and a community. Show us how we can love you. Show us how you want us to meet with you, how we can love on you, adore you, worship you, my God. And show us the transformation that your presence brings. We glorify you and we praise you, my God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, let's give God a praise. Thank you, Tony, for that beautiful word. And it's just resounding in my mind and in my heart, as David says, that I cannot give God an offering that didn't cost me anything. So I want us to go this week and think of that. What I'm offering God, the altar that I'm building, it needs to I need to be able to pay for it. It needs to cost me something. I need to give something to God. So have a lekker lunch and enjoy your family and celebrate that God is good and He's awesome. Bless you, people.